2 Thessalonians chapter 3 from verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guide you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we commanded. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is a sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Thanks, Zach. Hello, I'm Kev. I'm the senior minister at Euston Church. Great to have you with us this morning, especially if you're new or visiting. Very sad to be saying goodbye to you guys down there, but looking forward to catching up over lunch later. It was 2:30 in the afternoon and the banging on the toilet door was growing louder. "Are you okay?" said a concerned colleague. "You've been silent in there for 30 minutes." Yes, I replied, trying desperately to disguise the fact that I'd just woken up from my daily post-lunch nap. "I'll be out in a second." I hastily dismantled the pillow I'd made from 3 loo rolls, gave a precautionary phantom flush, and back to my desk to grind out the last 3 hours of the day. Now, that's not personal testimony from my week in the church office. It's the intro to an article I read in the Times recently about quiet quitting, deliberately cultivating the art of doing the bare minimum. Even more recently, again in the Times is basically a newspaper for middle-aged people like me, if you don't know it, a grumpy journalist talking about a new book called The Age of Laziness. It's a French book about how young people seemingly are allergic to the demands of hard, unglamorous employment. Apparently, a new generation of TikTok stars are instructing their followers only to accept the most nurturing and respectful and lucrative job openings. And if these terms can't be met, some handy hints for getting fired and snagging the best possible unemployment benefits. Is all of that COVID-related? Is it British low productivity? Is it generational? Or is it that in a broken world, we're always prone to dysfunction in our relationship with work? Idle, or we make work an idol. We'll come back to that toilet cubicle and the post-lunch nap, metaphorically. But today's the last in our journey through 2 Thessalonians. If you've been here, this chapter feels like a gear change. The vibe's mainly been a word from the Lord about standing fast and strong in faith in light of Jesus' return. Loads in 1 and 2 Thessalonians about the day of the Lord and our forever future. What about now, though? Have you heard that old Christian cliche about being so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good? Nice little line. Means being so focused on the spiritual and eternal that you neglect your responsibilities down here and the needs of the present world. That's not God's calling for us in these letters at all. Right from the beginning of 1 Thessalonians, we heard about their labor of love. This is the will of God, your holiness, a now thing. Do good to one another and to everyone, again now. And it's been the same in 2 Thess, giving thanks for their love for one another. It's increasing, 1 verse 3. Praying that they're resolved to do good, 1 verse 11. Works of faith. And look at the prayer that we ended with last week. Really striking. All that future judgment and Christ appearing stuff. The prayer in 2 verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in bunkering down until Jesus comes. No, establish your hearts in every good work and word. Yet our forever future is to glow with the glory of Christ. But God's will for your life is that the transformation begins now. God doesn't just establish us by helping us believe the right things. He establishes us, fixes us mature and secure as we live now in light of the future. Maybe you know Ken from the 3 p.m. service. When we baptized Ken, it must have been over 10 years ago now, I always remember he said in his testimony, there's a danger of thinking Christianity is a get out of hell free card. You got the ticket, you know, live how you like. None of this matters. Produce this on the day of the Lord. God has a big vision for your now. Loving labor, good works to walk in now. Now is ministry time for all of us. First, prayer ministry. This whole letter is soaked in prayer, mainly Paul praying, but he always sees himself as a model to be imitated. So he asks the Thessalonians to pray, verse 1. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. Wicked, evil, unbelief. That was chapter 2 last week. What do we do when the landscape out there so often is the spiritual Wild West? Not thank you, Lord, that we are not lawless and bunker down. No, get busy praying that the word of the Lord will speed ahead. It's beautiful, active language, the word speeding on. Imagine Bibles with legs, you know, Bibles winning the 100 meters. Pray that this in your hand would go viral, and pray for revival as the word of God is honored, as happened among them. Thessalonians were deceived like everyone else till an encounter with the living God through the Spirit of God, as the word of the Lord came to them in power and they turned from idols to worship him. It was an absolute miracle. Always is when former pagans like us come to Christ convinced, joyful, willing to bear the cost. That's the miracle of the past 2,000 years. The gospel has outrun and outlasted every philosophy and creed, overcome every barrier of geography, natural disasters, wickedness, the supernatural wonder of the church. Do we want to see the word of the Lord speed ahead in London? Well, pray the word of the Lord will speed ahead. Do we want to see the Lord honored in our generation? Well, pray. I felt challenged by this week, to be honest, really challenged. We try to bring prayer into the rhythms of church, but I want to repent of my prayerlessness so often. Maybe I'd pray more if I got the mindset right. Spiritual Wild West out there. Satan's lies, deception, rampant. And hear a word of truth. The only hope. Let's pray it out the door speedily and into hearts. Discouraging when you pray for ages and seemingly no fruit. Really hard. You know, China, the explosion of the church that there's been there came after decades and decades of prayer, seasons of evil opposition. We may or may not see revival in our generation. I don't know. But I do know that the word of God will not be honored more by us praying less. We're diving into some Psalms on Sundays from next week. They're essentially prayers. Let's pray them. Each week at midweek, we're going to use the 2 Thessalonian prayers as we pray for different people in ministries through the summer. Such a pithy one, 3 verse 1, isn't it? Use it when you're walking around the streets here. Pray the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. At UCL, UCH Hospital, have you been in there recently? It's like a town of its own. Euston Station might not have the high-speed trains for another 30 or 40 years, but pray that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored through this nation, through believers who go onto those trains. Our event on Wednesday night, the team heading to Bordeaux with Elizabeth and others to visit Maxime and Demelza at the start of next month. That the word of God would speed ahead there. Pray that the wicked won't win in the Middle East in the work of those missionaries that Nathan and the others met in Jordan. And keep praying for us. Reach and build always go together. And again, clocking the landscape will help us pray because we need to be guarded from the evil one, verse 3. And so we pray, verse 5, that the Lord direct our hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ to help us stay steadfast. Let's keep praying for each other over the summer in our comings and goings, whether we're staying or leaving. Come back to any of that in the Q&A time if you want. We need to move on. The now, it's ministry time. Prayer ministry, and second, work ministry. We left someone asleep in that office loo, remember? This is point 2. And I call it ministry because Paul mentioned work before as part of his ministry among them. He worked to pay his way. My goodness, though, it's strong meat, these sentences, aren't they? The commanding, the shaming, no work, no dinner. Now listen, God's not annoyed at people for whom health or unemployment reasons or for all kinds of other reasons aren't in a job right now. Okay? That's not what this is about. In other scriptures, he's very clear about our shared responsibility towards the needy and the vulnerable. This is about people who can and should but won't work. Why are we talking about idleness here? Well, verse 11, it's clearly a problem in their church among some. And it's just a terrible witness. Missionary Paul had a principle of not wanting to be a financial burden on those who were new to the gospel. And the Thessalonians were to imitate this example. Partly for evangelistic reasons, the sake of their reputation among outsiders. That was 1 Thessalonians. Word of the Lord's not going to speed ahead and be honored if the world thinks Christians are a bunch of slackers. Why was idleness, though, such a problem for some of them there? Well, there's been lots of loving the brothers and sisters in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Were some taking advantage of the love? So if she, with her well-paid job, loves me enough to feed me, I don't need to work. Perhaps. Was it connected with some saying that the day of the Lord time is now? That's what they'd heard in chapter 2. Jesus is imminent. Stop working. Get waiting. Maybe that. But we said in 1 Thessalonians it was quite a general letter. So there was teaching on sex and relationships back there. Not because they were particularly immoral. Rather because right from the beginning of creation, sex and male and femaleness are fundamental to us being made in God's image. And then how we've gone wrong. And then how we're being redeemed in the gospel. And also right from early Genesis, work, also fundamental to us made in God's image. to how we've gone wrong and to how we're being redeemed. Have a look. Notice how often the New Testament applies the gospel into the arenas of the household and the workplace. Now, I take it that's partly why the warning is so forthright in verse 6. I mean, we're normally all about embracing others, aren't we? But verse 6 says, keep away from any brother who's walking in idleness. Verse 14 carries the same idea. Maybe you heard about the student in Oxford recently who took his own life after he was shamed by his friendship group over an incident with a girl. Well, whatever you think of that, this is a distinctively Christian distancing where the motive is love and the aim is not to cancel, to restore. Loving to him to show him the folly of his ways. Loving to the body to make it clear this is not good. Loving to the world to show that God doesn't sit by while some church folks sponge off others. What is this? Well, it's effectively church discipline. What does it mean in practice? Ask more in the Q&A. At the very least, verse 10, though, don't keep feeding the problem by literally feeding the problem. I reckon we'll struggle to get why worklessness is so serious if we have too small a view of God's vision for work in his design for humanity. Such an attractive vision of a community on the give, not the take. How can I help and resource you rather than burden you? Now, your job means you can provide for family and friends, offer hospitality, give to the gospel and other needs. We can all do more of that because we don't have to pay for you. Work's a very other people-centered activity in that way. You know, my career plan, my job satisfaction and gifts, so I earn enough to buy the stuff I want. Who's that all about? Your job also keeps you away from trolling the universe online all day. That's the modern busybody, isn't it? Very different emphasis from your average London job ad. Exciting opening that will stop you burdening others. Fulfill your potential as you avoid being a busybody. God seems to be more concerned that you're a giver than that you fulfill your potential for your career. Career's not really a Bible word at all, actually. God just thinks you need a job. Not unspiritual to earn money is another implication of this. The word to the quiet quitters is you love by working, not shirking. And for some of us, perhaps this gives ministry value to something that you think is very mundane you'll be doing between 9 and 5 tomorrow. Are we tempted to feel some jobs are beneath us, like those TikTokers? And for all of us, whether your danger is to be idle or make work an idol, how is your work life ministry driven? It's so interesting, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, all this future focus, and yet that doesn't lead to detachment, like none of the now matters. God thinks in light of the future, your now really matters. And that's why the final word is verse 13. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Now, weary's a realistic word about the Christian life, isn't it? Work, ministry, loving the church family, prayerfully speeding the word of God out there can be exhausting. And the day of the Lord still hasn't come. You know, one of the local schools around here, they talk about good enough in their standard setting. So you could have exceeded expectations. You know, that's really amazing. Or you could be what they call down here, working towards expectations. That's the nice way of saying you didn't do very well. And then in the middle, they have good enough, which I think is kind of faint praise, isn't it? Good enough. But we often operate on good enough Christianity. Am I holy enough? Have I done enough given enough. These Thessalonians' love for one another was abounding and increasing, and don't grow weary in doing good. Do we need to look back at verse 5 there? Hearts fixed on the love of God. Christ, who remains steadfast through every affliction for the sake of our future with the Lord, not away from him. God's very good. He has a good end for you. So don't grow weary in doing good. May the Lord direct our hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. Amen.
Let's pray. God our Father, we pray this day that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. May we ourselves be those who honor it and obey it, as those who have faith in you. Would you establish us and guard us against the evil one? May you direct our hearts to your love and to the steadfastness of Christ. We thank you that you are faithful and true, and help us to cling to that, to cling to you through all the trials and challenges of life. Help us, we pray, to stand sure and secure as we walk in every good work and word. Help us to labor in prayer, in our work, and in doing good. And Lord, we pray especially for our guest event on Wednesday about the reliability of the Bible. We pray that people would hear about it and want to come. Help us to be bold in inviting those around us. We pray for Chris Fishlock as he speaks, that you would give him your words to say, and that it would help people to have confidence in the Bible and in the message that it contains. But above all, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be prayerful for that, to know that it's in your strength alone that people will come to trust in you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Loving Lord God, we pray for Crossteach as they help young people in schools engage with your word. Please may your word speed ahead and be honoured in their work in schools, leading assemblies, teaching lessons and running clubs. Please help them as they can contact existing school staff and make new contacts when staff move on and as they plan for the academic year ahead. We ask that you would deliver them from those who oppose the gospel. We thank you for the faithful work of Crossteach workers leaving this summer, and thank you for your kindness in providing new staff to join the team. Thank you for putting it on people's hearts to give towards the work, and we pray that you would continue to meet the needs of Crossteach, that your name might be honoured in the hearts of pupils and staff in the schools that they work in, and they might be pointed towards your love and steadfastness. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord of peace, we find it hard to know how to pray as we look at the news. We pray for those grieving over loved ones who died this week in the air crash in India. Please comfort them and give them hope. We pray that too for the families of the politicians who were killed in both the United States and Colombia this week, and the people in Iran, Israel, and other areas facing conflict at this time. We long for leaders who would lead nations in humility and seeking peace, looking to serve the people they represent. We pray for wisdom for the leaders meeting for the G7 summit and for those making decisions regarding the situations in Israel, Iran, Gaza, and further afield. Thank you, Lord, for those who are yours in positions of government or responsibility. Help them not to grow weary of doing good. We pray for your kingdom to come. And now may you, the Lord of peace, give us peace at all times and in every way. Please be with us all, as you've promised. Amen.